which printed out the message that a further patient history would be appropriate. Hall returned to the room where the two patients were lying. He crawled down the tunnel and then stood up inside the suit. Then he could work with the patients inside the room. Jackson was stirring sleepily. "Mr. Jackson, wake up." Slowly he opened his eyes and stared at Hall. He blinked, not believing. "Don't be frightened," Hall said quietly. "I'm Dr. Hall. I've been taking care of you. You were bleeding very badly. We had to give you a transfusion." Jackson nodded, accepting this quite calmly. Then,
"I want a cigarette."
"I'm sorry, smoking's not allowed."
"Look here, young fella. When you've lived as long as I have, you know what you can do and what you can't do. They told me before, none of that Mexican food, no liquor, no butts. When I tried it for a spell, you know how that makes a body feel? Terrible. Just terrible."
"Who told you?"
"Those doctors in Phoenix. Big fancy hospital."
"Why did you go to the hospital?"
"Why does anybody go to the hospital? I was sick, damn it."
"What was your problem, Mr. Jackson?"
"This damn stomach of mine. Same as always."
"Bleeding?"
"Christ! Bleeding. Every time I hiccup, I came up with blood. They gave me this milk stuff. Tasted like chalk. But I found a better thing for the pain."
"What was that?"
"Aspirin,"
Jackson said. "Didn't anybody tell you aspirin would make the bleeding worse?"
"Sure,"
Jackson said.
"They told me. But I didn't mind none, because it stopped the pain, see? That was a little squeeze."
"Squeeze?"
"Sterno. Pink lady. Aspirin and squeeze, see? Really kills that pain."
"Did this aspirin and squeeze have any effect on you, on your breathing?"
"Well, now you mention it, I was a tad short of breath. What the hell? I don't need much breath at my age."
Jackson yawned and closed his eyes. In Delta Sector, the computers hummed and clicked softly as Captain Arthur Morris punched through a new program on the console. Captain Morris was a programmer. He'd been sent to Delta Sector by the command on Level 1 because no messages had been received for 9 hours. It was possible, of course, that there had been no priority transmissions, but it was also unlikely. And if there had been unreceived messages, then the computers were not functioning properly. Captain Morris watched as the computer ran its usual internal check program, which read out as all circuits functioning. The teleprinter typed, "Machine function on all circuits." He looked and nodded, satisfied. He could not have known, as he stood before the teleprinter, that there was indeed a fault, but that it was purely mechanical, not electronic, and hence could not be tested on the check programs. The fault lay within the teleprinter box itself. There, a sliver of paper from the edge of the roll had peeled away and, curling upward, had lodged between the bell and striker, preventing the bell from ringing. It was for this reason that no transmissions had been recorded. Neither machine nor man was able to catch the error. According to protocol, the team met every 12 hours for a brief conference, at which results were summarized and new directions planned.